This message entitled The Twilight Zone was delivered to Christ Our Rock Bible Church on October 2nd, 2016 by the Reverend Roy D. Warren, Jr.
Praise God, praise God. Today is the 22nd Sunday now after Pentecost, cruising closer and closer to the season of Advent. Just another reminder. Amen? All right. Praise God. Yeah. I ran across a devotional the other day. It's called Extreme Prayer. Oh, I also want to mention that today, as you can see, is communion, but it's a special communion. It's world communion. What that means is that there are churches all over the world that are celebrating the Lord's Supper today. Now, not necessarily at the exact same time, because, I mean, even that is going to change from zone to zone. But, you know, but there's a celebration worldwide. That's what they used to call it, too, worldwide communion. Now they shorten it, it's just called world communion. But I ran across this, I should probably say in the context of that, so we're clear on it. Today, of course, is our first Sunday of the month, so this is our Mission Sunday. But since it's the first Sunday of October and the International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church is the first Sunday of November, we're going from the first Sunday of one month to the first Sunday of the other. We'll have our special offering today go to an organization called Open Doors. Now, most of you are, I think, probably familiar with that. It's like the Voice of the Martyrs, but it's just a different organization. And they do many of the same things, getting Bibles into persecuted countries and so forth, and a lot of the same kinds of things that they are doing. So the offering today will go to that. If you didn't happen to come prepared for that, because like I said, I didn't really put that together in my head till almost Friday night, and then I meant to announce it Friday night at Bible study, and I just forgot by the time we were done. So anyway, if you didn't come prepared for that, you can always take care of it next week. But that's what we're looking at for today. And then there will be another special offering on the International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church on the first Sunday of November, which is November 6th. Okay? And that offering will go to the Voice of the Martyrs. All right? Voice of the Martyrs. Which, by the way, their conference is coming up in a couple of weeks. Okay, it'll be a couple of weeks before that special Sunday. But it's coming up 2 weeks from this weekend. It's on a Saturday, and it's out in Ohio. It's not very far out. I think we're going to find it very, very helpful. It's a Saturday, and I think I already gave you the flyers and so forth on it, so you have an idea. So we'll figure out details as to how we're going to get there and so forth and where we're going to meet and things like that, by probably next week. Okay. Devotional I found for this week is called Extreme Prayer. And it's speaking of a fellow by the name of Michael Sattler, and this is in Switzerland, and it's a number of years ago, quite a few years ago. The scripture that's used for this devotional is Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. Michael Sattler was not surprised by his sentence to have his tongue cut out and then to be burned as a heretic. It was the 16th century, and Michael was an Anabaptist, a movement of believers who wanted to return to New Testament form of church. However, Europe's religious and social institution saw the Anabaptists as a threat. A crowd of onlookers began to gather in the marketplace. One of the bystanders was a 25-year-old Klaus von Grafeneck. Klaus von Grafeneck, who stood close to the convict watching the executioner prepare for Michael's impending death. Michael began to pray despite his then slurred speech, for they had already taken his tongue. Dear Lord, open the eyes of this young man. Klaus suddenly jumped back, realizing and shocked that this criminal was praying for him. As the executioner bound Michael, the prisoner turned to the crowd and in garbled speech, because of the tongue not being there, said, "Be ye converted." Then he closed his eyes and prayed, "Almighty God, almighty and eternal God, I will on this day testify to the truth and seal it with my blood." With that, the executioner threw Michael into the fire, and when the ropes on his hands were burned through, he raised them into the air and prayed, "Father, I commend my spirit into thy hands." Klaus was so touched by the condemned man's prayer for him that he recorded Sattler's death as a tribute. He concluded it by writing, "May God grant us also to testify of him so bravely and so patiently." The devotional goes on to say that prayer is a Christian's secret weapon. It makes a silent statement or an open overture about one's faith in Christ. When Klaus heard a condemned man pray, it made him stop and think. Likewise, when others, in a restaurant perhaps, see us bless our meals before we eat, we may also cause them to stop and consider God. Even if we capture people's thoughts for a mere moment and turn their minds towards Christ, we have done our duty. As Michael proved with Klaus, prayer changes lives and inspires commitment. However, God can't use the prayers you don't offer. Take some time to offer a silent prayer for the benefit of someone you meet today. You never know what will happen as a result, because our God is the one who is in control. Praise God. Amen? Through this month of October, as I say, starting on World Communion Sunday and going to the International Day of Prayer on November 6th, we will be having at least somewhat of a focus on the persecuted church. There's going to be at least a couple of illustrations in the message, perhaps also in the call to worship, such as today, just as a constant reminder of people living for Jesus Christ. Not just saying so, but actually living for Jesus Christ. Amen? The Bible says that the godly in Christ, those who truly desire to be godly in Christ, will indeed suffer persecution, the scripture says. All right? Praise God. I was mentioning earlier that I caught a little bit of David Jeremiah's latest message, and he was on the same thing. He was talking about the same thing. Praise God. I think it deserves to be our focus in this coming month. And it has been. We've done this many, many years now. The month before, we kind of buckle down, so to speak, and keep it a focus. We pray every Sunday, of course, as a church, for the persecuted church. We list off the updates and so forth that have come to us by way of our iPhones and all of that, you know, as we meet for prayer earlier in the morning. And when that's an ongoing thing, you know, day in and day out, week in and week out. But in church on Sunday, we're going to go ahead and focus more forcefully on the people that are suffering for their faith in Jesus Christ, and stand with them in prayer. Amen? Okay? Praise the Lord. Praise God. Would you join me in prayer, please? Father, we just desire above all things, dear God, that your mercy and grace would be known today and felt today and exhibited today as we come into this place of gathering. You have given it. And I believe, dear God, that these times are crucial. Your word says so, Lord. It says, dear God, to not forsake the gathering. I thank you, dear God, that you also say, Lord, in that very verse, dear God, that It's going to happen more and more and more. We're going to desire to gather more and more and more. We're going to actually gather more and more and more as we see the day approaching. Praise God. As we truly become to understand, dear God, that indeed You are coming back soon, we get more and more and more serious about loving You, being devoted to You, being committed to You, getting together as a people, sharing testimony, and praising the name of Jesus. Because Lord, as the last days are upon us, and I certainly believe they are, we are going to see a lot of things happen, not only worldwide, Lord, but we're going to see it here in this country as well. There are already pastors and churches that are being sued for being about the truth and making it clear that there are a lot of false religions around and that Jesus is the only way. He's the truth and He's the life, and nobody comes to the Father but by Him. There are people, dear God, in this country getting in trouble for that so-called exclusive message. And I just want to thank You, dear God, that You are worthy of all praise, honor, and glory. You, dear God, are truly going to be our everything this day and every day. I pray, dear God, that by the power of Your Holy Spirit, dear God, You will be upon us today, Lord. And You will take us, dear God, into that spiritual dimension that we all need to live in, and we all need to recognize that it's a place for all of us. I want to thank You, dear God, that You are the one that will have the glory as we enter into that place of greater love for You, greater commitment, dear God, to You, greater sacrifice, Lord, for You. And Lord, yes, there's going to come persecution in that. Yes, there will be people that do not want to hear about it. They do not want to see it in us. And I believe a lot of it's because they know deep down that they should be loving You also. That You deserve it. That You are the Lord of all. But they don't want to surrender to that. They don't want to give in. They still want to rule their own lives. They don't want You doing it. And so they get upset. As David Jeremiah said, they get not only upset with the message, but they get upset with the messenger. And I pray, dear God, that we would all be those messengers that speak forth, dear God, that spiritual dimension. Praise God. I want to thank You as we come into the what I believe, Lord, are the twilight years, dear God, of this life. And that's true for any of us, dear God, because we do not know, Lord, when we will be called home. We don't know if we're going to even make it to the rapture. But we do know, dear God, that You are calling, dear God, for a people to gather unto Your presence. And Lord, that's what we're doing today. That's what we're doing today. Not so that we can look good. Not that we can be patted on the back. We are gathering, dear God, because You have called for a gathering. You have called for it. And You have a reason for it. And You have a purpose for it. And You have a plan for it. And I want to thank You for that, dear God. And we exalt Your holy name. We lift You up and praise You, dear God. Hallelujah. We praise the Lord, the Almighty God of the universe. We exalt You, Lord. And we need You, dear God, today. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I would like you to turn to the book of Exodus, please. Please turn to the book of Exodus. It's from chapter 3. And it'll begin at verse 11. 11 through 22. To the end of the chapter, verse 22. This is Exodus chapter 3, beginning with verse 11 and going towards 22. Praise the Lord. Amen.
But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt?" He said, "But I will be with you, and this shall be the sign for you, that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. Then Moses said to God, if I come to the people of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say this to the people of Israel, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and thus I am to be remembered throughout all generations. Go and gather the elders of Israel together and say to them, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, have appeared to me, saying, I have observed you and what has been done to you in Egypt, and I promise that I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt to the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and Hivites, and the Jebusites, a land flowing with milk and honey. And they will listen to your voice, and you and the elders of Israel shall go to the king of Egypt and say to him, the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, has met with us, and now please let us go. And now please let us go a 3 days' journey into the wilderness, and we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. But I know that the king of Egypt will not let you go unless compelled by a mighty hand. So I will stretch out my hand and strike Egypt with all the wonders that I will do in it. After that, he will let you go. And I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. And when you go, you shall not go empty. But each woman shall ask of her neighbor and any woman who lives in her house for silver and gold jewelry and for clothing. You shall put them on your sons and your daughters, so you shall plunder the Egyptians.
All right, the scriptures have, or at least a scripture has already been before us, but there are several others that I want you to see throughout this message entitled The Twilight Zone, as timeless as infinity. As timeless as infinity. Obviously, taking a look at how infinity has no time about it. There's no beginning, there's no end, right? As timeless as infinity. The Twilight Zone. Would you join me in prayer, please? Father, I just want to truly thank you, Lord, that it's by your Holy Spirit, dear God, that we are gathered unto you here today. Lord, we desire, dear God, that you would truly touch every heart, Lord, that sits in front of this pulpit, before this pulpit, dear God, and desires, Lord, that there would be a granting of your direction and of your will into our hearts and lives, Lord. But it's got to be by your Holy Spirit. And I pray, dear God, if there be any amongst us, Lord, that does not really have that heart, truly desiring nothing but your presence here in this place, establish that first, dear God. Be upon each one of us, Lord, to truly desire that in our lives, Lord, this very day, dear God. And I pray also, dear God, for this one that stands behind the pulpit. Lord, this is a message, dear God, that you have been giving me all week long, dear God. And I pray, Lord, that as we are here in this place today, truly coming together to worship and praise your name, dear God, I pray, Lord, that you would touch me and certainly work beyond my frailty and my inability, dear God, to share anything of any importance, dear God, without your Holy Spirit. So I pray, dear God, that by the Holy Spirit, You will indeed bring forth your heart today. Bring forth your message, dear God. Bring forth your everything, dear God, into all of our hearts, dear God. It's only you that can do it, dear God. Lord, I can't do this in my own strength. You have made that clear, dear God. Hallelujah, Lord. I just remember back, dear God, one time I know for a fact I was in fifth grade, and I was shy, but the teacher kind of put me on the spot. I had my report done. I was ready to share it, to give it, and I stood up to give it, and I just couldn't get the first word out. I was shy, and I couldn't get anywhere with it, Lord. And I know, dear God, I'm not telling you anything new. You knew all about that, even way back then, dear God. And I stuttered, Lord, for 2 full years. 2 full years, dear God, because it was not handled properly. And I pray, dear God, Lord, that you would touch our hearts, dear God, that you would indeed fill us with your truth and with your heart, dear God, but do it properly. Do it, dear God, by the power of your Holy Spirit. Do it, dear God, so that we can indeed go forth with your truth, dear God, and not stutter our way through life, dear God. I pray, Lord, that Jesus Christ will be truly glorified this very day. You are worthy of all praise, honor, and glory, dear God. And we thank you, Lord. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. 57 years ago today, October 2nd, 1959 was the year the Twilight Zone premiered on television. You're all familiar with it. Rod Serling was, of course, the host. The Twilight Zone. The program spanned 5 seasons with a 1-year gap between the 3rd and 4th seasons. Many consider The Twilight Zone, which was created and hosted by Rod Serling, one of the best dramas in the history of television. It was an anthology of science fiction and fantasy parables, but each show explored some aspect of human nature, using a metaphor rather than just conventional drama or acting. I do remember one in particular. Oh, I probably, if I sat down, I could remember others, but this one just really rings a bell. I remember that my mom and I were watching this. It was at night. My dad was out. It was probably during the years that he was in night school, and my mom was alone many of the evenings. And I don't know, I think she asked me to stay up. She wanted to watch a little bit of this, and I don't remember my sisters being there, so I have a feeling maybe they had gone to bed, or maybe they were doing something back in their rooms, or whatever. But we stayed up, and we watched this one particular episode. It was called The Invaders. It was called The Invaders. Now, you might think, now, how did you ever remember that? Well, actually, I went ahead and punched in the theme into my phone, you know, on YouTube, and I found a 2-minute version of the entire episode, and it flooded back memories that I probably would not have remembered without doing that. But anyway, it's called The Invaders. And it was about this old woman. She was living alone in an old shack. It appeared to be out in the wilderness, you know, out in the boonies, so to speak. And lo and behold, all of a sudden she starts hearing noises around her house, outside and different places inside. And she goes to investigate these things. And here it turns out to be little aliens have landed with their spacecraft nearby, I think right on her porch, if I'm not mistaken. And she's just going frantic. Okay, she's just going frantic. At one point, she actually could see one was under the blanket of her bed, and she hadn't gone to bed yet, but one was under there. She saw him moving around, so she grabbed the blanket, and she, you know, held it like a bolo, so to speak, and just, you know, whapped it on the table. And there were numerous kinds of attacks that she tried to make against them. One was on the front porch, and she rolled something to knock it off the porch. I don't know that it hurt the alien at all, but she came up with all kinds of things, and she was really fighting them. Anyway, she goes to go out on her front porch, and there's the little spaceship. It's right there on her front porch, actually. It's not very big, because these creatures were not very big. They were probably only maybe 4 or 5 inches tall or something. And then the camera spans over, and this is after she has destroyed all of them, to the best of her knowledge anyway. And then she also took a broomstick to the spacecraft and smashed it, and all of a sudden computer-like voices came out of the spacecraft and was making it clear that there had been an attack on their research party and so forth. And then the camera spanned over, and right there on the side of the space saucer, spaceship, it said United States Air Force. United States Air Force. Huh. It turned out that she was the alien, and that they were astronauts from the United States coming to check this planet out, I guess you could call it. It turned out she was the alien, exploring some aspect of human nature, namely fear, using metaphor rather than conventional drama. During the first season, each episode began with these familiar words. And I don't know that I could do Rod Serling's voice, but I'll just read it to you. There is a fifth dimension, beyond that which is known to man. It is a dimension as vast as space and as timeless as infinity. It is an area which we call the Twilight Zone. Human beings are born with a spiritual dimension that goes beyond the physical senses. In this dimension, we can either turn to and follow God's spirit, okay, God's spirit of truth, or we can turn to Satan's spirit of deception, or basically stay in it, because, quite frankly, we are born in that sin nature. We are born in that that dimension. If we want to enter the kingdom of God, we must have a spiritual birth. We must be made new. Experience growth also, as God's Spirit teaches us spiritual truth. True worship of God happens within this spiritual dimension. If we want to have a full understanding of human behavior, we have to take the spiritual dimension into account. Even programs of physical healing are more effective than when the spiritual component is included. And I learned this rather graphically when I was back in seminary, but since, I've only found one hospital that refuses to let me leave our messages, our newsletters as we call them, around in the waiting rooms and so forth. Only one hospital called me up afterwards, after they found some of these, and asked me to not put them out anymore. Now, I thought everybody knew, and I would have thought that everybody in the medical profession knew that there is a spiritual component that must be there for true healing. Because it's only through God, it's only through the power of the Holy Spirit that any healing takes place in the first place. Amen? Now that's all of the, 40 or 50 hospitals I've been in the area. That's the only one that has put up a fuss, so to speak. There's only one. I'm not going to bother telling you who it is, because it doesn't matter. We need to remember to nourish our spiritual side every day. It is too easy to focus on our physical self and forget that someday we will receive a spiritual body, as it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Once we get our new permanent body, we will learn the real meaning of timeless as infinity. Timeless as infinity. You see, it's absolutely crucial. That spiritual dimension makes clear that our God is with us. Amen? That's what it all boils down to. He will always be faithful to His faithful. Do you hear me? Amen? I want you to turn to, I want to show you this, first of all, from the Old Testament. It's in Exodus chapter 3. Would you turn there? And differently than we've been doing in the last few weeks, I want to take you to a few of these places in the Old Testament where this very concept is found. If you'll turn to Exodus chapter 3, please. Okay? Exodus chapter 3. It's right after Moses and the burning bush. Okay? Verse 11 and 12 will be enough. And Moses said unto God, Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, Certainly I will be with thee. Certainly I will be with thee. And this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. In other words, you're going to know that I have been with you, and I have brought you out, you and all your all the people, because you're going to come out to this mountain, and you're going to worship me here. We're going to come back to this place, praise God. When Moses was afraid to return to Egypt from Midian, God said that he would be with thee. That's what he said. I will be with thee. Okay? Flip over to Joshua. Okay? Now this is after Moses. Joshua is about to lead the people. Okay? And in chapter 1, verses 5 and 6, take a look at this. When Joshua assumed leadership of Israel after Moses' death, God promised, I will be with thee. I will not fail thee or forsake thee. Let me show you this in verses 5 and 6. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee. This is Joshua chapter 1, verse 5 and 6. Before thee all the days of thy life, as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Praise God. Amen? Go ahead and flip over to Isaiah, please. I know this is different from what we've usually been doing, just looking at one story, but you see it throughout, so I just want to mention it. If you'll turn to Isaiah chapter 43, okay? Chapter 43 makes clear that God is going to redeem his people. He's not left them. But now it says in verse 1, Thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel. Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. See? And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, and Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Now, did you notice that very verse actually contains the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel. And that's the verse I was pointing to Friday night at Bible study that we found in Habakkuk. Amen? Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee and people for thy life. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. Praise God. God encouraged Israel with these words, When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. Fear not, for I am with thee. And these words are timeless as infinity. There's no beginning and there's no end to them. Amen? And it's all through the Old Testament. Well, as I've said, the things in the Old Testament will also not be missing from the Gospels. That's not been our focus, but I've mentioned it's always going to be in the Gospels. I mean, listen, and I want to show you this before we get to you-know-where, right? The book of Acts. I want to show you this. If you'll turn to Matthew chapter 1, verse 23. Now, this is at the very beginning of Matthew, okay? 1:23. Take a look at this. Okay? It states the purpose of Jesus' coming. Yes, to achieve nearness between God and his people. That's basically what it is. When the birth of Jesus is being announced, look at verse 23. This is Matthew 1, verse 23. Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. See? Same theme. Emmanuel, God with us. And also, at the very end of that very same gospel, okay, just flip over, Matthew 28, okay, Matthew 28, look at verses 18 to the end. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Lo, I am with you always. And not only that, the next gospel, the Gospel of Mark, turn to the very end of that too. Mark 16. Okay, look at verse 20. Mark chapter 16, verse 20. I'll give you a second to get there. This is the Gospel of Mark from the 16th chapter, the very end. Verse 20. And they went forth and preached everywhere, talking about the disciples, the Lord working with them. And what? Confirming the word with signs following. Amen? The Lord went with them, working with them. Amen. Praise God. Amen? So, that's the Gospels, and there's much more, but that's the Gospels. What about the book of Acts? Okay? What about the book of Acts? You guessed it. The concept is indeed as timeless as infinity. All right, turn to Acts chapter 18. By chapter 18 in the book of Acts, Paul and Silas were entering into the twilight years of their ministry. You know, coming down towards the end, the twilight years. And they needed to know the very same thing. But they would need to know it from the very source. And you guessed it, it has to come from Jesus. But in the book of Acts, that doesn't make any sense, does it? Yeah, it does. If you'll turn to Acts chapter 18, and let's just work our way through this. It's not very far, just the first 11 verses. Okay? After these things, ministry in other words, they departed from Athens and they came to Corinth. Okay? Now, Corinth was a great seaport. Okay, but it was known for its immorality. There was the temple of Aphrodite there, had 1,000 prostitutes by which people were supposedly going to worship their gods. Obviously, not the god, right? Also, there was a catchphrase from Corinth that was, or about Corinth, that said, to act like a Corinthian. Okay, and to act like a Corinthian was to be engaged in fornication. That is, to have sex outside of marriage. All right, and then there was also a reference to the Corinthian girls, the harlots, and that's probably associated with, as I said, the temple of Aphrodite had 1,000 prostitutes along with it. So, anyway, they found a certain Jew, verse 2 says, named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome, and came unto them. Okay? And because he was of the same craft, they had the same kind of job, same kind of employment, he abode with them, and they worked together. Okay? They wrought. They worked together. For by their occupation they were tent makers. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks, the Jews and the Gentiles. And when Silas and Timothy were come from Macedonia, Paul pressed in the Spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ.
And when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment. You can almost picture this, can't you? I mean, it's so graphic. He literally shook his raiment as to shake off, their presence, so to speak, and said unto them, your blood be upon your own heads. In other words, we're not responsible anymore. We have given you the truth, and you have rejected it, and Paul says, I am clean. I am clean on this issue. I gave you the truth, and you didn't want it. From henceforth, I'm going to go to the Gentiles, it says in verse 6. So the rest of the book of Acts, he's going to focus on Gentiles. He had before, too, but also Jews. And now the focus is over on the Gentiles. It's the Jews' own fault. It's the Jews' own fault. They turned it down. And he departed thence and entered into a certain man's house named Justus, one that worshipped God, whose house joined hard to the synagogue, might even have been attached to the synagogue. That's how close he was. Like a rectory on the church, or a manse that's connected to the church. It's kind of like that. And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house. And many of the Corinthians hearing believed too, and were baptized. Now you would think that would be a great encouragement. And I have no doubt it certainly was a great encouragement. But they still needed to hear of God's presence, and they need to hear it from the source. Amen? But we're living in the book of Acts here. Jesus has already been crucified. He's already been raised from the dead. He's ascended up into heaven. Jesus isn't there on earth, okay? But then verse 9 tells us, then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision. Jesus appears to him in a vision, and the next verse and a half is in red letters. This is Jesus speaking to Paul. Be not afraid, but speak. And hold not thy peace. Don't be scared. You can go ahead and say it. You can go ahead and give the answer for the hope that is within you. Praise God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory be to God. Be not afraid, but speak. And hold not thy peace. In other words, don't hold back. Go ahead and give the answer. For I am with thee. See? There you go. It's got to come from Jesus himself. For I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city. You may not know it. You may not see it. You may not even believe it. But I am telling you, you're not going to get hurt. Anything that happens to you is coming through my hand first. Now, that, you know, can indeed mean we have troubles and afflictions and all of that, but it is not to hurt you. It is to bless you. Be not afraid, but speak. Praise the name of Jesus. Glory be to God. Just this week, we saw a glorious breakthrough for one of our little twin boys. So shy. Knows the answers in school. Knows the, what numbers are what and what letters are what. But when it came to telling the teacher about it, when it came to talking about it, and they bring the counselor in and do testing, and he's just quiet. Just quiet. But praise God, this past Friday, he opened up, he shared some of the answers. He didn't just write things down. He didn't point to things. He said it. Praise the name of Jesus. And Kara was there that morning with Andrew and the teacher and the counselor and so forth and so on. And one little boy comes out and says to his mommy, hey, mommy, Andrew's mommy is here. And Andrew, talk to me. Praise the name of Jesus. Amen. Andrew, talk to me. Jesus broke through that. Amen. Praise God. Be not afraid, Andrew, but speak and hold not thy peace. Go ahead and give the answers. Praise the name of Jesus. Glory be to God. I am with thee. Glory be to God. And we need Jesus with us, do we not? Do we not? Amen? And he continued there a year and 6 months, a year and a half, teaching the word of God among them. That's what verse 11 tells us. For I am with thee. Amen? Now, in all of this, I am not talking about his omnipresence, where he's everywhere, and so therefore he's obviously with us. I don't mean that. Rather, what I'm talking about is a special nearness that only God's faithful children can have. He is always faithful to his faithful. Do you hear me? Praise God, he is personally with his church. And he is personally with his church worldwide. And we commemorate that. We praise God for that. We worship his holy name for that on this World Communion Sunday. Communicating his will, communicating his love, and communicating his fellowship to us. Amen? Praise God. He is present to act in every situation of our lives to bless, to help, to protect, and to guide. And he can do that even through his loving conviction. Praise the name of Jesus. As we come into the twilight of this life, as, you know, obviously, the way things are going, you know, this God's not going to put up with this world for a whole lot longer. I mean, it's getting far worse than I think it's probably ever been. Oh, there's always been sin, and there's always been rebellion, and there's always been apathy, and there's always been all of these things we're seeing, the violence and everything. But I think we're seeing such a level that, and prophecies being fulfilled left and right. I think we're talking he's going to come back soon. Amen? I do believe that's what's going to happen. Praise the name of Jesus. As we come into the twilight of this life, that nearness is as timeless as infinity. Amen? Oh, praise the name of Jesus. In the twilight zone, it's as timeless as infinity. Praise the name of Jesus. Our God is with us. Praise the Lord. Father, I just want to thank you, dear God, for this truth that is so clear through the Scriptures. Lord, we see it not only through the Old Testament, but we can see it through the Gospels, and maybe even more importantly than that, dear God, we can see it in the book of Acts. Because, Lord, the book of Acts, being the history of the early church, also deals with us as we are the church of the latter days. And I pray, dear God, Lord, that you will truly touch every one of us, dear God, to live for Jesus Christ. But we can only do that through the power of your Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. So we thank you, we praise you, and we just want your name glorified. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Praise God. Amen.